Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. I know you've all been sitting for a while. Maybe we could just stand and pray together. Those of you that can or want to, if that'd be okay, we could just come before the Lord in prayer here. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful for this day. We want to thank you today, Father. Just lift up our hearts, our voices to you to give you thanks again today. We have many, many blessings upon us, Father. We realize today, Father, that there are countless multitudes, Father, who have not heard the things which we have heard and who have not been taught the things that we have been taught. And today we're a very privileged people, and we just humble ourselves before you to give you thanks. Ask you, Father, to be with us here during this time. I do pray for those who have committed to their lives to you and desire to be baptized today. Just ask you, Father, that you bless each one and their commitment to you, Father, and pray that you would also lead them and guide them in life. So we just ask for your blessing upon your word at this time. Pray, Father, you would speak to our hearts, and we do thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a blessing to see each of you here today, and it's a blessing to be gathered in this way today, and a blessing to sense the sincerity and the hearts of the young people and all those desiring to be baptized, and so we're very, very thankful today, and we realize that conversion, the new birth, is a beginning, and as has been already stated this morning, there's a need to endure, a need to live out, to work out, as it says in Philippians, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And there's a need to do that, and the promises are conditional. I think we all realize that this morning, that there are conditions to the promises of God. I have just a few thoughts, a short message here that I'd like to share, especially with those being baptized today. I have a few. These thoughts were, I guess I would say that, that was on my mind as I was seeking the Lord for a word for this morning. And in that way, it applies to maybe most of us in here who've been baptized previously and have a profession of walking with God today. So I think it's for all of us. For the opening text, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. First few verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says these words, beginning in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. I just stop reading there. I'm kind of maybe not getting the full context of that passage, but I'd just like to get the burden of it and share that here with the with those being baptized and those committing their lives to the Lord. Just as Paul told the Corinthians here, he said, I am jealous over you. He said, I have a godly jealousy over you. He said, I have, in his preaching and in his teaching and in his leading them to the Lord, he says, I have espoused you to one husband, even Christ. And he had a burden and a concern, he said, that when you meet him, you would still be pure. That you would still be pure when you meet him. And I think that's the burden. I think that's the burden of the hearts of the parents here this morning. It's the burden that's on my heart. I'd like to just consider this a little bit this morning. He said, I've espoused. It's that the word we would use today. He said, I've engaged you. He said, you're engaged. I've engaged you. It's like an engagement. You belong to him. And I think of, we have courting couples here and some just recently married. And so this is a very real thing to some of us, I know. It's very fresh, very new for some. But that engagement, I was thinking that engagement of that I belong to him. And to break that engagement, to turn aside when I have made that engagement, when I have once yielded to him, when I have once given my life to him, and then to break that engagement is the judgment that's on that is just simply unfaithfulness. It's adultery. It's idolatry, and betrothed. I don't know if you think of that word betrothed to Jesus Christ. It's a powerful thought. It's a powerful thought to me. But the church, to become part of the church of Jesus Christ, is to be betrothed to him. One day there's going to be a marriage. And I don't know what that's all going to be like. But betrothed to him. I belong to him. He paid the dowry. He paid the price for this bride. He paid the dowry. And that's a message in itself. I could ask us all, maybe just each one of us here this morning, to consider, just to take some time to consider this thought. My personal betrothal to Jesus Christ. Where does that rank in my priorities in life? Where am I at with that today? My personal betrothal to him. And we could apply that as a church and a broader as well. That's the first thing I wanted to pull out of this text here. The second thing that I would like to pull out of this is he warns them that as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And I know that the scripture says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And Paul said that. Paul said we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, and yet sometimes I wonder how aware we really are of Satan's devices. And so I just have a little message here I'd like to share on this. Well, one of the lies that has permeated the church at large, and I don't know to what extent each one of us, but one of the lies that has permeated the church at large is this thought that it's burdensome to be a Christian. And I'd like to call it a lie this morning. It's not always easy to be a Christian, but it's not a burden to be a Christian. We're betrothed to Jesus Christ. He's our bridegroom. In the garden, the devil did something very subtle to Eve, didn't he? He turned her attention to the thing that she couldn't do. Right? That's what he did. He says, did God really tell you you can't eat of this? And that's one of the lies of the devil. But he likes to take Christians, those who are betrothed to Christ, and turn their attention to the things of the world, to the things of, and make them look pleasurable, and make them feel like God is restricting them from things that would be enjoyable or pleasurable. And so the Christian begins to, his religion becomes a religion of the things that he can't do. Well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and it begins to become burdensome. Begins to become a burden. I'm sure that maybe some of us have even experienced that at times, and it's all a lie. It's all a lie. The focus of the Christian was never to be all the things that he can't do. It was never intended to be that way. It's a tremendous privilege to bear the name of Christ. It's a tremendous privilege. So we're going to just share a few thoughts along those lines this morning. In Matthew 13, we have a simple little parable. It's one of my favorite of the parables that Jesus taught. It's a very simple one, but it's one of my favorites. I often meditate on this parable. In Matthew 13, 44, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And I know there's many in this room that can relate to that. There's many in this room that can relate to maybe just recently or maybe further back in your life when we saw that Christ and the kingdom of Christ was this priceless. And we were willing to give whatever it cost to obtain that. And to have that peace in my own heart, to have that joy, to know that inasmuch as I can and know I've yielded to my life to Christ and the joy. And many of us can relate to that. I know we can. And I've seen many others who there was a time in their life when they just humbled themselves before God, and it didn't matter what it cost, it didn't matter what loss of reputation or what other loss of occupation. I know there were some who lost their occupation, and a tremendous cost at times. But to obtain that pearl, we couldn't live without it. We got to have it. We need it. That for joy thereof goeth and buyeth that field. For joy thereof. For joy thereof. Though it was difficult at times, there was a joy. A joy. That I want that pearl of great price. To be part of the kingdom, to be part of Christ. However, as time goes on and time goes by and there's things arise, offenses come. Jesus said offenses must come. Things happen. Difficulties arise. We several times heard that song this morning that my anchor holds. Well, the anchor will always hold. The anchor will always hold. But the cable between the anchor and me can get pretty thin. That cable is faith. That cable takes a lot of strain. And and then sometimes people as I share this with the young people this morning, as a bit of a warning, you'll be tempted with this. Maybe I could just say that you will be tempted to allow your faith or your commitment to Christ to become burdensome, for it to become burdensome. All of a sudden it becomes things that I can't do, and those who one day were so willing to sell out for Christ, so willing to give up everything for him, suddenly run against, and they can no longer, for joy thereof, sell that thing, whatever it is, and buy that field. And they run against. And it happens all the time. And so I challenge just all of our hearts today, and I encourage the young people this morning that the value of that pearl never changes. It is of infinite value. And only as we go on in life and finally one day we will see that it was of much more value than we ever realized. The value of it will never depreciate. It only increases. And so I don't know, we're a large crowd here this morning. I don't know where everyone's at this morning. But is there something that you can't sell out? Is there someone you can't forgive? Someone you can't, offenses that you can't lay down? And there's something that you just won't give up. But it's keeping you from something. It's keeping you from that pearl. It's keeping you from that pearl of great price. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. It has been said, and maybe partially true, I've heard this and I know many of you have, that Jesus Christ is worthy to be served, whether even if we were to go to hell in the end. I know that you've maybe heard that before. But you know that Jesus never asked anyone to make that commitment. He never asked anyone to make that commitment. He always promised that if any man will leave all for him, he will receive in this life 100-fold and in the world to come, eternal life. Jesus never asked anyone to make that commitment. though there may be some truth to it, that he would be worthy of that. There's great reward. There's a great reward. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 11, and then we'll go on from there. Hebrews 11 here, speaking of faith. I'm going to share this with the young people here this morning. We were speaking the other day about favorite Bible verses, and I don't know if I have a favorite Bible verse, but this passage is probably one of my favorites, if there is any favorites that I have. But Hebrews 11, verse 13, I've always appreciated this text. It just challenges me and speaks to me. And Hebrews 11, 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherein God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That is one of the most striking and clear definitions of faith that I know of in the Scriptures. The life of the Christian, his faith is plainly declared that he is not living for the here and now. And though he may do very many normal things, his faith is looking beyond this life. And that's just a powerful passage to me. But it says here, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And I'd like to just encourage the young people today that that commitment that you're making to Christ, do it without reservation. No looking back. It says here that if they're mindful of that country, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And as I think of that, I think of Lot's wife, who was mindful of that country. She was just, that was in, that had a hold on her. And she turned into a pillar of salt. And I thought of that. I thought, you know, it's Christians. That's not what happens. But we lose our salt. We lose our saltiness when we are mindful of that country that we came out of. But the life plainly declares, that we're not living for the here and now. It is my heart for each one of you being baptized here this morning that you would have this testimony that God is not ashamed to be called your God. That God is not ashamed to be called your God because of your faith, because of your pursuit of Him. And then I'd like to go through a text here in try to make this short in 1 Timothy. It's an encouragement for those getting baptized here. First Timothy chapter 9. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. It says here, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." This is written to Timothy, but I'd like to apply this to those getting baptized today, and maybe all of us, and just kind of walk through this a few of these verses here. Verse 10, Paul says, "Because of this, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God." Faith in the living God produces a willingness to labor and to suffer reproach. And any Christian will face that. A willingness to labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. And verse 12, we'll just start here maybe. Verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Let no man despise thy youth. I appreciate that, because I know that I know there's this tendency to feel like, you know, I'm young, I'm too young. I don't have, you know, maybe when I'm older, I'll be more mature and then I can. But I don't know what age Timothy was, probably older than many of you are being baptized today. But let no man despise thy youth. You have the opportunity. You have the opportunity, the great privilege. And that's the burden that I have, that you would see it as a great privilege this morning to be an example of the believer. You have a great privilege this morning to be an example. It's an opportunity. I just think of that as the opportunity. It's an opportunity that many of the world don't know anything about. An opportunity in this heathen and profane world to be an example, to be a testimony, to be a pattern of Christ. A pattern for others to see, a pattern that leads others, that exposes light to others. And that applies to us as individuals and as a church. To put on Christ and the new man, to walk in newness of life and to be a light. Like to challenge you, young people, that nothing can take away your opportunity. Nothing can take it away. There's nothing that can take it away. No one can rob you of it. You can only let it go. Your opportunity to be the testimony, the pattern for Christ. Circumstances can't take it away. Trials, difficulties, in fact, they provide for greater opportunity. No one can take it away. Your opportunity to be an example of Christ in word, in your words, by your words. By how you speak, your tone of voice, your scripture teaches us to abstain or to stay away from foolish jesting and bitterness, gossip and slander and anger. Young people, you can by your words, and we heard that already this morning, you can have so much power over the atmosphere of your home. You have so much influence over the atmosphere of your home by just your words and the example and the opportunity you have. Need to move on here. In conversation, in your conduct. I was thinking of that this morning, that just simply living in the fear of God will direct your life in that way. God consciousness. Just allow your life to have a God consciousness. That my actions, my decisions, God is here. God sees everything. God knows everything, even the thoughts and intents of my heart, and I just seek to glorify Him. And it will make you a pattern of Jesus Christ. It'll allow you to be His example here on the earth. And it's not just a part-time thing. It's walking in the Spirit. if I could just say this, never make excuses for carnal behavior. Don't justify it. When the flesh rises up and you fail, call it sin, and never justify it. It'll do you no good to justify, because when you justify carnality, it enables others to do the same. Never do that. It's easy to want to do that. We want to appear good before men, and we begin to justify things. Next one here is in charity. There's no place like home to practice charity. Maybe work's a close second. to be an example of Christ in charity. To love all men, to love even those who are unlovable. That's your calling. That's your privilege. That's a privilege you have today. You have the power of the Spirit of God in you to love even in bad circumstances. You have the opportunity. It's your privilege to do that. Next here it says in spirit. You have an opportunity to show the world, to show your family, to show the people around you what it means to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I think of the calling that is placed on our lives, and I think it often the reality of these things can escape us, and it becomes burdensome, and no longer seems like a privilege. Walk in the Spirit day by day. Be an example of the believer. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead dwell in you, He will also quicken your mortal bodies. Next here is in faith. And there's so much could be said here about this, about trusting God in our circumstances and believing His word. Obeying His word. think of the scripture in 1 John that says this is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments and they're not grievous. And I think of that. I think of just that when His commandments are not grievous to us. when we embrace them, we love, we see that we count it as a privilege. It's faith. That's what faith is. Persevering in obedience, though it may not be easy. Next here, in purity. Young people, you have an opportunity. You have a blessed opportunity to be an example of purity. It's such a joy to me that you have, to see you being converted at a young age. Just be an example of purity in all of life. Purity. Purity in heart. Purity in motives. Purity in actions and in speech and in holiness. It's good. It says in it's good that you bear the yoke in your youth. It says in I think where that was is Ecclesiastes, I think. We're going to move down to verse 15. It says, "Meditate on these things." Meditate on these things, and to meditate is to revolve in the mind, to wonder, to think on. And I have a particular burden for this, because I believe that in the mind is the great battlefield. That's where the great battlefield is. It's what you think about, and it's where the battles of life are won and lost. Is there? The devil's after our minds, and I think young people, I just like to encourage you that there's a lot of things competing for your attention, and it takes time. It takes time to quiet your heart before God and to allow God to minister to you, but. It takes time to wait on God that He can write His laws in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5 talks about casting down imaginations and the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Taking every thought captive. It's dangerous to allow your mind to just wander. It's dangerous. It's not edifying. And there's many other things that affect us, the media, the music that we listen to. We make choices, and then those choices make us. Those choices will determine who we become. And what you choose, now you may not believe this, but what you choose to think about, what you choose to meditate on, is one of the most important choices you make. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. That's who he will become. What you choose to think about, what you choose to meditate on. Take time to be holy. There's no apps you can download for it. Take time to be holy. It takes time before God to allow God to write His word on our hearts. Meditate on these things. It says, meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them. I think of that, give thyself wholly to them, completely. John Wesley said, he called it being altogether a Christian. Be altogether a Christian. The world has enough half-hearted ones. Be altogether a Christian. The kingdom of heaven is completely voluntary. No one can be forced into it. No one can be forced to deepen their walk with God. No one can be forced to do it. No one can be pushed into it. They can be encouraged, but no one can be drugged into it. It's completely voluntary. God walks with those who want to walk with Him. And it's so beautiful, and it's so simple. And yet, many lose their way. Don't allow Satan to divide your affection. Keep your zeal for one goal, one purpose. That's to glorify Him. Your pursuit, make Jesus Christ, make the knowledge of God the pursuit of your life. And you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. It says here, the end of that verse says, that thy profiting may appear unto all. In other words, What your spiritual growth will be evident. Will be evident to others. Being spiritually profitable is visible. We can only hide who we are for so long. It's not high-minded. It's time to close here. But just one more thought here in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And I know maybe you feel like you're young, and you feel like maybe I don't matter, but everyone has someone that's looking up to them. Everyone has someone that's following them. Everyone has someone that watches what you do. And it's a burden to me that the way we consider that as we make choices and as we live our lives, that we realize that someone's following me. Someone is coming behind. Someone, and he says here that in doing this, you will save yourself and them that hear you. In other words, you'll save those that are looking. And I would just again encourage us that we count it a great privilege. It is a great privilege to be that testimony of Christ, to be an example by the grace of God, to live for Him. And I think that's all I have this morning. I think we'll just close with that. Just want to bless all of those that shared this morning, and thank you for sharing. It was a blessing. So God bless you all.